of a word puzzle or some kind of composition in which certain letters of each line form a word or words, or in this case, each letter in the word missions will give us a beginning point for a song and a point. As we go through this lesson, each of these songs and each of the points that we develop out of the letters of the word missions will be great reminders of our duty as missionaries. You say, well, now hold on. I'm not a missionary. Well, you need to be. In fact, every single one of us needs to be a missionary. I realize everybody can't pull up stakes and move to a foreign country and work in preaching and teaching the gospel to people who've never heard. But, you know, we observed a passage this morning in Acts chapter 13 as we were studying the first missionary journey of Paul in the Sunday school class in here. And verse 49 of Acts chapter 13 tells about, as it concludes the story of Paul and Barnabas in Antioch of Pisidia, going to the synagogue and finding a group of people there, and Paul spending a great deal of time telling them and reminding them of their history as the Jewish people, and he then found some people who were more interested in hearing more and more. And as people heard and learned and obeyed, verse 49 says, and the word of the Lord was being spread throughout that whole region. I don't think it's talking exclusively about Paul and Barnabas there in that verse. Paul and Barnabas were doing their part there in Antioch of Pisidia, but the implication is that the more people obeyed the gospel, the further the gospel was being spread. And so, in very much the same way that Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, the things that you've heard from me among faithful witnesses, commit to other men, or commit to faithful men who shall in turn teach others also. We've used that phrase sometimes, each one teach one. And if every single one of us would teach someone, whether we have to go across the street or across the back fence, or whether we have to go across the state or across the nation or across the ocean, there are people who need to be taught in every single one of those places. And surely we wouldn't argue that, hey, my neighbor's interested in learning the truth. Do you think we could get a missionary to come and spend some time teaching them? That's why I say that we're all missionaries. We all have the duty to be missionaries. So, as we go through these songs, I would ask you one thing, and of course it is the same thing that I mention so often when we talk about our singing. These are not just words. These are not just words that we're going to sing often out of habit because we've sung these songs a lot. Every single word that we sing is a part of the teaching and admonishing one another and the offering up of praise to our Heavenly Father. And so let's pay close attention to these words that we sing, and especially in view of the fact that these words remind us of the duty that we have to be connected with the mission work of this church. I'm going to start out with this song.
Christ for the world we sing. The world to Christ we bring. With loving zeal, the poor and them that mourn, the faint and overborn, send sick and sorrow worn, whom Christ doth heal. Christ for the world we sing. The world to Christ we bring. With fervent prayer, the wayward and the lost, by restless passions tossed, redeemed at countless cost from dark despair.
That first letter, my responsibility. It's not his responsibility or her responsibility. It's not yours, it's not theirs, but it's my responsibility. That's what I was talking about a minute ago when I was referring to the fact that we don't need to get the idea that we could call in someone to do the mission work for us to our neighbors or to our friends. Listen, I'm not saying that there isn't a time when it's not appropriate to ask for help. But if we've got this idea that we as Christians, as members of the body of Christ, as New Testament Christians, don't have a responsibility to participate in mission work, the matter of preaching and teaching the gospel wherever we have an opportunity, then we're mistaken. The matter of sitting down with someone one-on-one and talking with them about the Scriptures is a scary thing sometimes. Not all of us are good at that. And that's why I say that there are times when we certainly will want to get some help, bring some help in. But the idea that we just turn all of the teaching about Christ over to someone else, that's foreign from what we see in the Scriptures. Everything that we read about the early church from the time that the persecution really began to be turned on, so to speak, where it says, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere teaching the truth. And the verse that we noted in Acts chapter 13 talking about the spread of the word of the Lord throughout the region. That was done by regular, normal, everyday people. And so, let's make sure we don't try to shirk off the responsibility, because mission work is my responsibility. It's my task to do. Whether I'm able to go or whether I'm able to walk across the street, or whether I'm able to pick up the phone or send someone something through the mail, whatever, there are all manner of things that we could do that are tremendous tools to reaching people with the gospel. We have one of the best resources that comes here every couple of months, the House to House, Heart to Heart magazine. It goes out to everybody in our zip code right here around us. And a stack of them, extra ones, are delivered here to our building. How easy it would be to use those and to leave them everywhere you go, as long as it's an appropriate thing. My point is, we have lives that are filled with all kinds of responsibilities and duties, and often we begin to view those things as being more important than the Lord's work. The responsibility of spreading the gospel is one of our greatest responsibilities. Let's sing another song. You something, do those words that we just sang sound like they come from a heart that is interested in souls or a heart that has no interest in the souls of others? Lead me to some soul today. Teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. I've got friends that are lost. You have friends that are lost. The question is, do we have any interest in their souls? The interest that we should have in lost souls ought to be right up there with the greatest interests that we've got a lot of interest today, don't we? There are a lot of things that pull us in all kind of different directions, but what we really need is an interest in the souls of those around us and those throughout the world. And so, how interested are you in the souls of other people?
Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the morning?
That one's kind of personal, isn't it? Are you sowing the seed? You remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11? In Luke's record of the parable of the sower, when Jesus began to give an explanation of that parable, the first thing that he said to his disciples was, "The seed is the Word of God." The seed is the Word of God. And in keeping with the terms of that parable, that parable is an illustration, the seed has got to be planted. That's the whole point of the whole thing. It's the different kinds of soils that are represented in that story that Jesus told, that he talks about illustrating the different conditions of the heart of people. Would you think I would be irreverent to say that most of that parable doesn't apply to you and me. Because you and I are only mentioned, yeah, I'm getting some frowns. You and I are only mentioned in one word at the beginning of that parable. The sower went forth to sow. I hope and pray that my heart's not represented by the thorny ground or the stony ground. Yes, the good ground at the end of the list there surely should represent us. But you see, you and I in that parable, we're the sower. We're the one who is sowing the seed, or who should be. We're the ones who are represented by that sower who went forth to sow. Now, sowing's hard work. It's hard for a lot of reasons, but one of the main reasons it's difficult is because it's not always rewarding. Because the thorny ground and the stony ground, the wayside soil, those are not productive. And so the sowing of the seed in those grounds and in those hearts that are represented by those different types of soil, it's just disappointing, isn't it? But as disappointing as that aspect of it is, there is no greater joy than to sow the seed and for that seed to find lodging in hearts that are good and honest and to bring forth fruit 100-fold. The psalmist made reference to that very point, I believe, in Psalm 126 and verse 6. There are other lessons from this verse, but I always think of this verse when I think about the difficulty of sowing and the joy of reaping, because the psalmist says, "He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him." There is no greater joy than to see our efforts, along with God's help, bring forth fruit. Now, I tell you, I've told you before, I'm not a good gardener. My grandfather, on the other hand, in fact, both my grandfathers, but I think most often of my dad's dad, I called him Pawpaw. And there were times when I was afraid that Pawpaw took his measure of a man by the size of that fellow's garden. And my dad got it honestly. But I can remember the times when I was in school and living in Montgomery, I would drive down to Davenport where they lived. And invariably, in the summertime, when I would go down there to visit them, I'd walk in, and the first thing that Pawpaw would ever ask, "Well, son, have you planted your garden yet?" And I always felt like the only thing about my life that disappointed Pawpaw was the fact that I never could get around to planting a garden. But I do know that the seed won't grow. It cannot grow and bear fruit unless it is first sown or planted. And so that song reminds us of that fact. And it gets a little personal, asking us, are you sowing the seed of the kingdom?
Come to me, this blessed redeeming, words of the Master speaking today.
This word's got a lot of S's in it. That's good, that's fine, because there are a lot of S words in the idea and the concept of missions. Seeking. Active seeking is vital. You know what that song is based on from the Scriptures. Luke chapter 15, the first part of the chapter where Jesus tells the parable of the lost sheep. How that the shepherd will leave the 99 in the fold and will go out into the wilderness and seek or look for that wandering sheep. That imagery is all through that song. And I wonder if when we sing that song, we really see ourselves as that shepherd who's willing to go to great lengths to try to bring that lost sheep back in. The word seeker has had an interesting trip here in the past couple of decades, because I think I remember when we first began, and I say we, I use that kind of haphazardly, but the particularly the Christian, quote-unquote Christian religious world began to use that term for a person who was looking for the truth, a seeker. And there was a time when we had a word for every category of person, you know, whether they were looking for the truth or whether they were lingering, or, and so seeker was one of, you know, in the concept of the parable of the lost sheep and in that song. The seeker is you and me, the one seeking the lost. In fact, I'm beginning to notice a pattern with these songs and these points. They all seem to point everything back at us, don't they? Because that's what it's really all about. Our interest, our connection with the matter of mission work. Here's another song that has an interesting story with it.
You never mention.
In all fairness, I should tell you that there are some people who say that we should not sing that song, admitting that it is heavy with poetic license. It's a figurative idea. There certainly is nothing in Scripture that gives us the idea that we're going to be standing there before the judgment seat of Christ and we're going to be accused of neglecting God. Let me tell you why I think it's okay to sing that song. There is a principle, a spiritual principle involved in the message of that song. And it comes all the way out of Ezekiel chapter 33. In Ezekiel chapter 33, God is speaking to Ezekiel. He's speaking very plainly to him. I've sometimes said that we may have characterized God and His conversations with some of the prophets in the wrong way. I don't think God sort of sidled up to Ezekiel and put His arm around his shoulders and says, "Now, old Zeke, let me tell you something here." I don't think that was it. I think the message was delivered in a very plain, blunt way. In fact, just listen to the words. Ezekiel chapter 33, beginning at verse 8. God says, "When I say to the wicked, 'O wicked man, you will surely die,' and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you on your part warn a wicked man to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he will die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your life." You see what God says there? There's a principle there that says if you know the truth and someone else doesn't know the truth and you don't tell them the truth, then in a way, in a sense, partially, you're responsible for their destruction. So I think that song is absolutely scriptural with the concept, the warning that it expresses. That song was written by James Rowe. Now, you don't know who James Rowe is. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He was born in 1865, and in 1896, he began to write. He had lived in England, where he was born, for a time, and then at about 20 years old, he immigrated to the United States and held several positions working with the railroads in the United States. And in 1896, he began to write. And in the course of his career, he wrote more, published more than 9,000 hymns and poems and other writings. Now, you've sung his songs before. He is the one who wrote Home of the Soul. He wrote Ring It Out. He wrote Redeemed. Sweet is the song I'm singing today. He wrote Love Lifted Me. An inescapable duty. Are we doing our duty? Because we are responsible for those that we have the opportunity to warn, to teach, to turn from sin. that song's all about opportunities, isn't it? And opportunity abounds. Not necessarily opportunities to, as I said earlier, to pull up stakes and move across the ocean. But none of us lives in a vacuum. We have opportunities all around us. And we often pray that the Lord would help us to open our eyes to the opportunities that are around us. No shortage of opportunity. It does seem like, though, sometimes people aren't all that interested in hearing the truth. And it's easy to get discouraged. And then you hear a story about something like what's happening in Thailand that Brother Mayo told us about last Sunday morning. I believe it was in the Bible class, and so if you were teaching a class, you missed out on that story about the annual camp they have for young people, and they have to have it at a certain time of the year because it's during that time that school is out for a break, and it's the hottest time of the year. And they bring 180 young people together in a facility where the daily temperature ranges from 100 to 110 degrees. And after spending a weekend together in preaching and teaching and studying, it takes them a couple of days to carry all of those kids back to their villages in the mountains, and those kids beg for someone to come to their village and preach and teach. It's not that way here where we live, but there are opportunities all around us. We just need to make sure we take advantage.
All the night is sunny, work to the morning hour. Work while the dew is sparkling, work is raining fast. Work when the day grows brighter, work in the
Bet you didn't know there were this many songs about mission work, did you? That song always reminds me of what Jesus said when he told his disciples, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work." Now there, Jesus wasn't talking about literal day and night. He was talking about the fact that his time on earth was drawing near to a close. And the song is based on that same concept. Work, for the night is coming, doesn't mean that when it gets dark every day we have to stop. What it means is there will come a time when nothing else can be done. When the day of this life is finally over, no more opportunities, no more ability to fulfill our duty, no more seeking can be done, no more planting of the seed, no more, nothing good will be accomplished by our interest And if we haven't fulfilled our responsibilities by then, it's too late. The night is coming. We've got another S left over at the end. And I want to ask us all a question. Are we too static? I thought I was fairly certain what the word static means, but I looked it up to be sure, and the Oxford Language Dictionary says that static means lacking in movement, lacking in action or change that is desirable. We would probably put it in terms like this: stuck in a rut, not doing anything, same old, same old. And so there's the question: are we too static? Are we convinced that soul winning is someone else's duty? Are we convinced that the mission works that go forth from this congregation aren't that important? It certainly aren't important enough for us to be connected with, take an interest in. Now listen, I don't believe for a minute that those words describe any of us. The things that I've needed to say here tonight have been in the form of, let's make sure we don't get in the rut. Let's make sure we don't become static. One of the great things about the Redland Road Church of Christ is the amount of money we allot in our budget to the preaching and teaching of the gospel, both on the local level and on the international level, as well as publications and Christian schools that we support. It's an amazing number. It's amazing. An amazing figure out of our budget goes to mission work. I believe God is pleased when He sees things like that. Let's keep it up. This next song is going to serve as our invitation song, and it's, again, it's another song along the same lines that we've been singing. And so, if what has been said tonight, or if the words of any of these songs have jolted you and made you realize that you need to make some changes, there never will be a better time than now to change. Or if you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, you're willing to repent and turn away from sin, you want to confess Him before men and be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins, we'd like nothing more than to help you accomplish that. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing this song.
Must I go and be handed, must my dear Redeemer me, not one day service give and play no trophy at His feet. Must I go an empty handed? Must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet Him. Must I empty handed go? O ye saints, arouse, be earnest, up and work while yet is day. Ere the night of death o'ertake thee, strive for souls while still you may. Must I go an empty handed? Must I meet my Savior's soul?
Not one soul with which to greet him must I empty-handed go.